The message today is about the movement of God toward men in need. You remember last week, it was the movement of men in need toward God. This week, it's just the opposite. God's movement toward men in need. I want to read two scriptures from the New Testament, one from the Old Testament, and then bring to your attention more. Let's just read these. Matthew chapter 23, verse 34. Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall ye kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth. Please notice, the Savior says, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Now, Luke 15. Luke 15. Our Savior is mingling with publicans and Pharisees, and the remarks that his enemies make are these: this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank God he does. If not, there would be no salvation. But verse 4 says this: what man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? Verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently, until she find it? And now, verse 17. The younger son in the far country is perishing with hunger, and in verse 17 it says, but when he came to himself, he said, verse 18, I will arise. And now, verse 19, the middle of the verse. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and was moved with compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And in the Old Testament, a portion in 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you have explained to us in your word about your so great salvation. Indeed, our Father, there is something within us that tells us that we need to be saved, but we have no understanding of these inward movings. But our God, thou dost tell us in thy word, thou dost explain them to us. We rejoice in this. We are glad, our Father, because as a man of science, able to tell us correctly the movements of the stars of heaven, thy word is able to tell us the moving of thy spirit within our hearts that pertains to salvation. Our God, we rejoice in this. We are aware of life on earth. Thy Son has spoken of life in the world to come. Therefore, we pray that thy Spirit may illumine us, that we may be partakers of those who shall enjoy life, that is life indeed, in the world to come. To accomplish this, our Father, there is no power within us, but there is power in thy Spirit, and therefore we beseech that power, and is working in the hearts of those who listen. And our Father, who would serve you apart from being clean? Therefore we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you last week about the necessity of God moving first before man would move toward God. What I would like to do is to give you some details about the movement of God toward men in need, because it's most important to understand about God's approaching sinners. You have to understand it because men have read of his approach toward themselves, and some make him approach so near that the meeting is of no value. And others have men going so far that their meeting of God makes God unnecessary. But what you have to find in the scripture about the movement of God toward men in need is that God of necessity must move toward men. But he only moves so near. Because if he moved all the way, then man would be overpowered and against his will do what God desires. And that would be perfectly all right with me. But God's so great salvation is arranged in the way that God sets it forth. And no one has ever been saved without the yielding of his will to God's will. He will never yield that will to God unless God moves toward him. But God only moves so far that he is able to escape from the power of Satan and yield that will to God. But God moves that near, but no nearer, or else salvation would not be of the kind that God says is necessary. Listen to the Savior. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you may have life. The Savior says, you have to come to me to have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23 said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. God has said there must be the yielding of the will. And you find God's will. How often would I? He said, but ye would not. So whether we like it or not, God says, I am not going to take you in until you will. And unless God moves toward us, we shall never yield our wills to God. But God never moves so close that he overpowers our will and we become his without no movement on our own. There is this balance of the two. And the reason I do not seek to explain the two is that it says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the things that belong unto men God has revealed unto us. The things that are ours, he says, these are yours, children of men. But it says, the secret things belong unto God. And the mistake that men make, the Calvinists, they say, it's all of God. And the Arminians, it's all of man. But God says, it is neither. And when you see the two in Scripture, he tells you ever so much about his movement toward man, man's movement toward him, but he does not tell you how he accomplishes the salvation of the movement Godward and God's movement manward. He never tells you how that is accomplished, but he tells you it is. He leaves it unexplained. That is why, in the portion that gives us the most explanation about this mystery, this is the way that it ends. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Listen to what he said. He said, his ways are unsearchable. Well, then why are you trying to search them? And his ways past finding out. Well, why are you trying to find them out? He has already told you, unsearchable, past finding out. Therefore, you look diligently and learn as much as you can in the Scriptures of them. And then the things that are revealed, they are for us. And the things that are unrevealed, they are God's. And any man that seeks to explain more than God explains has gone beyond what is contained in the Scripture. Some would do that. Some, if the Bible does not tell us, would go beyond the Bible. Do you remember Saul? When God had stopped speaking to him, he sought a witch. He sought a necromancer. And that's what men are doing. God will not tell me? Well, then I'll find the answer somewhere else. Woe unto those that receive answers from spirits other than the Holy Spirit of God. But some would. So what do I tell you? I tell you this, that you will never move in the direction of God unless he first moves in your direction. And I tell you this, that God moves in the direction of every man. I told you this last week. The Lord Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he also says in John chapter 1 that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But there is that light and that drawing that brings you to the place that you can be free from the power of Satan, free from your own stubborn will. And how it comes to pass that some say, yes, Lord. And others say, go thy way, come again at a more convenient season. I am unable to answer that question. And I thank God that I tell you I'm unable to answer it because I've searched diligently in the Scriptures and God has never revealed it there. And so I'm not going to try to tell you something that God has not set forth in his word. But I promise you this, that there is the movement of God toward every man. He comes near enough for every man to be saved, to be free from the power of Satan, to have his eyes illumined, to yield his will to God's will, to Christ's will. And therefore, what I intend to show you this morning is the way that God has approached man, has come to man. He has not always done it the same way. But from the very first, God has moved in the direction of man. And from the very first, man has moved away from the direction of God, our parents. When they disobeyed God, it says their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked. And they hid themselves in the garden. That is why I tell you, from the very first, as soon as sin enters into the heart of man, man flees from God. Man hides from God. But I rejoice that it said that God came in the cool of the evening and he called to Adam and he said, where art thou? This is God seeking man. He started it at the first. And at the first, he always moved personally. He spoke audibly. When it came to Adam, he spoke personally. He saw Adam personally. when there was Cain, he personally approached Cain. He spoke audibly to Cain. When there was Noah and the flood, God personally came to Noah and spoke to Noah. When there was Abraham to be called from Ur of the Chaldees, God went to Abraham. God personally spoke to Abraham. But after that, God did not personally approach man and speak, but God, through instruments, spoke to man. That is why I read to you, and take it to heart. That is why the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I send unto you." This is why God in the Old Testament said, "I sent unto you prophets. I sent them to you." At first, God personally came. Then, in the wisdom of God, he said, "I shall no more personally come, except on rare occasions, as when he came to Moses, and all those years was with Moses and the nation of Israel, unless he would come and speak to Elijah. But ordinarily, he said, I sent unto you prophets." And he said, "I sent them rising up early. I sent them again, and I sent them again." He said, "But you would have none of them. You would not hearken unto them." But understand that when God sends a prophet, the prophet's coming is the same as God's coming. And the voice of the prophet is the same as the voice of God, because the Lord Jesus said the same thing, and you take it to heart. He said, "Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes." The Lord Jesus said, "I sent them unto you." And he said, "Some of them you shall kill and crucify. Some of them you shall scourge, and some of them you shall persecute from city to city." These are God's representatives. These are God's ambassadors. And the Lord Jesus holds you responsible for the words they speak as much as if he were speaking to you personally. And this is what man disregards. He said, "Now, if God were to speak to me, I would hearken. But if you speak to me," the Lord Jesus said, "He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." And therefore, if you think you shall stand before God in the coming day and say, "I never heard your voice, I never listened and hearkened, or did not listen and disobeyed, you never spoke to me," the Lord Jesus said, "I spoke to you through prophets, through wise men, through scribes," and Luke adds, "through apostles." And so here is a fourfold way that God speaks to men today. And I will give you another now. When this man in hell is pleading with Abraham, "Send someone from the dead to testify to my brethren that they come not to this place of torment," Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets." That's the word of God. They have that. It takes more than that, the rich man said. It takes a miracle from hell. Abraham said, "If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if one rise from the dead." And therefore God says, "This book is sufficient in itself." Now, it is either this book, and if you are reading that book, and it needs explaining, God has a Philip to come and join you and explain that book. That is why whatever is necessary, God provides the man. Let me interject this. I told you that at times we have to wonder how it is that some hear the gospel clearly and some do not hear it clearly. Why did God say to Paul when he wanted to go into Bithynia, "Do not go into Bithynia"? Why, when there is this Ethiopian eunuch reading, does he send a man personally to explain it to him? Because that man is ripe for salvation, and he needs the voice of God, and God sends it. Why is it that Cornelius, that is searching after God, why is it that God sends Peter unto him? Because Peter has words whereby he shall be saved, and God knows what men need. And if they need special help, I tell you that God will send special help. He sent it to the Ethiopian eunuch. He sent that special help to the household of Cornelius. And if any man needs special help, God will send that special help. But without it, understand, that God says they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So you say, I understand. Then there is the written word, yes. And there is the spoken word. Because if a man comes, a prophet, a wise man, a scribe, an apostle, that is the spoken word. But at the same time, there is the written word of God. And so how does God approach men today? He approaches men through the written word of God and through the spoken word of God. And he approaches man through circumstances, through events, through providence, as I shall show you. And at times, the Lord puts things in the word that we know are not acceptable. Do you think anything happens by chance? You say, of course not. The Lord Jesus, in speaking of the Good Samaritan, said that there was a man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way, robbers fell upon him and beat him and stripped him and left him half dead. And it says, by chance, a priest passed that way. Why did he have to put it that way? By chance. You and I know that it wasn't chance, but the Lord Jesus explains things that way. And we look over our life, and by chance, and you see someone that's at the point of death, and by chance, a doctor happens to be there. A person is going down, drowning in the water, and by chance, but upon reflection, you say, this was not chance, this was the hand of God. You understand it. And so this is how God approaches man today. He weaves into life his approaches, his word, his appeals, his visitation. He weaves all of these things into life, and you're not able to tell that it is God until after it's all over, the way that Jacob did when he woke up at Bethel. And he said, why, this is nothing but the house of God. He said, this is the door to heaven. He did not know it at that time. And all of you who have trusted Christ as Savior, you look back over your life and you say, I thought it was by chance. But now I understand that it was the hand of God. So it is evident to us who are saved that it is God who works in us. It is God who works through circumstances. His providence brought this thing to pass. We understand it. But that is much a movement of God in our direction to save our souls. As when Adam was personally visited by God. As when Cain. As when Abraham. As when Moses. They are all the movements of God in our direction. But if God wants to weave them into the fabric of our lives so that it seems as if by chance this happened and that happened, I promise you that in the coming day when you stand before God and you are talking to him, something like unto that in Matthew 25, the Lord will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? He says, because I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was sick. I was in prison and you did not come into me. They said, when? Where? The Lord said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. He accounts that these events in life that you thought were insignificant, of no consequence, that you thought were chances, the Lord says, it was I, through this man, through this circumstance of life, it was I who was visiting you. Now, I shall confirm it. This way that God works today. I tell you that God visits as much in circumstances as he does in actual visitations to Adam and to Abraham. This is what he says in Amos chapter 4. God said, I have sent cleanness of teeth among you. You are starving to death. He said, yet you've returned not unto me. I've sent a drought, but you have returned not unto me. I've sent blasting and mildew, you've not returned unto me. He said, I have sent pestilence among you, you have not returned unto me. I've sent calamities upon your cities, and you have not returned unto me. He says, now prepare to meet me. But he is telling you, I set all of these circumstances of life. It was God weaving into our lives these things. So if it does not rain, it is God speaking. If there is blasting and mildew, it is God speaking. If there is pestilence, if it's calamity, God is speaking to us. And we have to be able to interpret His voice. And when we do, after we are saved, we say, why, of course, it was God who was seeking my soul. Let me give you an example. Here is Zacchaeus. He's interested in that man named Jesus of Nazareth. And so he runs ahead of the multitude and climbs up into a sycamore tree. You see, by chance, Jesus is passing that way. And the Lord Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, it just happened that he was up that tree. And at the same time, blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside, and by chance, Jesus is passing by. And he shouts to the top of his voice, have mercy upon me, thou son of David! And he continues shouting until he's brought to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus heals him. It just happened that Jesus was passing that way. And you look through the scriptures, and you will discover that all of these things just happened. But you will find in them the hand of God. When one was in prison and you did not visit, when one was hungry and you did not feed him, or just the opposite, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison, you came unto me naked and you clothed me. When? Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. We must understand that God is moving toward us in the circumstances of life, and in all of those circumstances, He is desirous for the salvation of our souls. This is what man must understand, that God has illumined us, that God has drawn us as much in the secret movings upon us, in the ordinary events of life, as when He personally came to man in the garden and in Ur of the Chaldees, as when the Lord Jesus personally sought man. Now, the Savior said, I am sending. Why do you think this meeting is convened this morning? It is because the Lord Jesus has sent us. He said in Matthew 28, He said in Mark 16 and Luke 24 and in John 21, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And therefore, every servant of God who has responded is a messenger that Christ has sent. He has sent prophets. He has sent wise men. He has sent scribes. He has sent apostles. All of these are God moving in your direction for the salvation of your soul. And the Lord Jesus wants you saved. There is no man who shall ever say, you did not want me saved. God will say, I'm not willing that any man should perish. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No man can ever say God does not want anyone saved. And what will happen is this, I promise you, that when we get to heaven, we shall say, Lord, I'm here because of you. But all of you who go to hell, you will say, I am here because of myself. You will not blame God in that coming day. You will know then that God drew you, that God rose up early sending His prophets. He sent them again and again. And reading through Jeremiah, I can show you 11 times that God said, I arose early and I came to you. And He did this through His prophets. It is God coming to them, coming to them. But understand this, that God's approach to man is not an unending thing. I read you in 2 Chronicles 36, that God sent them prophet after prophet, and even though they shamefully handled and wounded and murdered His prophets, He still sent more. But finally it said, they disobeyed God and mocked His messengers until there was no remedy, and that is the end. And what shall you do when God has sent His messengers and you have mocked them, you have rejected them, you have neglected them? And God says, there is no remedy. What will you do then? you will have to answer to God, and you will answer in fear, just as those demons, when Christ approached them, said this. They said, "What have we to do with thee, thou Holy One of God? Are you come to torment us before the time?" You will understand that where you are is your just desert, and that God visited, God approached you, God drew near, but you would have none of him. You are like Felix, who, when you hear the voice of God through his servant, you are terrified, and you say, "Go your way, come again at a more convenient season." Or, if you are Festus, you say, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Those are the answers you give. But in the coming day, you will understand that this was God approaching you. His visitation, his sending his servants, his prophets, his wise men, his apostles. This is the voice of God. This is God approaching you, and he wants you to be saved. This is the desire of God. He has determined it, and God has decreed that every man will receive light, that every man will be drawn. And what we fail to understand is that God is drawing us. God is illumining us when messages such as these go forth, when the word of God is read. This is God drawing man, approaching man. But what is so frightful is this, that when God approaches man, that man can tell God, "Go away." It happened when Christ was on earth. Here is this man named Legion, possessed with demons. And these demons had so controlled him that they asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion." And finally the Lord Jesus expelled those demons, and they entered into the swine, and all of the commodities of that area ran down the steep and were drowned in the waters. And it says, all the Gadarenes from all the cities round about came and said, "What's going on here?" And they told what had happened. And instead of saying, "Praise God, there is a man in our presence who can drive away unclean spirits," instead of that they said, "Leave, get out of our borders. We do not want you here anymore." And the saddest thing is this, that Jesus did what they told him to do. The most terrible thing in the world is not God pursuing you, but God's ceasing to pursue you. Understand these words. Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. That is the most terrifying portion of God's word, when God leaves you alone. When you say to Jesus, "You go your way. I want to do what I please." You'll find that Jesus left them. And also, it says this, when the Savior tells you to go and preach the gospel to every creature, it says concerning certain ones to whom Christ himself spoke, it said that they rejected the testimony of Christ, that they were stumbled because of what he said. And his disciples came and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were stumbled by what you said?" The Lord Jesus said, "Let them alone." I see. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Let them alone. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Cast not your pearls before swine. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And so I tell you that God has moved as near to you as is possible. And when he does move towards you, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, lest the words be uttered concerning you. There is no remedy. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, that you would come toward us, knowing what we are, realizing our baseness, our uncleanness, our lack of holiness, we marvel. And yet, Father, you have done just that. We thank you. We thank you that you would come toward sinful men. We are so glad, Father, that when you come, we can be freed from that master that is treating us so cruelly. We are thankful that we can no longer be kept in Satan's bonds, if you will. So, Father, your will is that we be freed. Let us say, "I will, our God." How often would I, but you would not. Father, this again is one of the orphans of the Lord Jesus. I would. So this day, may our wills be thy will. Save, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.